thing, because if we're looking at this as international, where we're doing develops, the things that are really, in my experience anyways, I'll have jump in, but records management, delay, scheduling of hearing, these are things that are, they don't really have a grasp on yet, because at least they didn't in Ghana and they don't in Jamaica, because their caseload is exploding so much, they never had to worry about it in the past. But now they have to worry about it, and they're just not sure how to do it properly. So I'm just wondering if we had a specific court-related topic for our first one, just to show that, you know, these are things that we have experience with, and these are things that we have put our minds to as to what this looks like in a developing country.
I think that's an excellent topic.
I do too. I was just wondering, is that one of the ones that were written down?
But no, we don't have that one specifically.
Okay.
But you're talking about I guess it's a skill set, but you're talking about getting a country or getting an organization to move into using digital records, right, Bruce?
Yeah, and if a country is wanting to digitize their records, and we had a podcast about digitizing records and the importance of it, and maybe a way of going about doing it in a graduated way, so that this stuff would be really expensive all at once, that may be something that would catch their attention.
Yeah, so I think what I hear is that would be the topic, and then there could be some discussion about the skill sets that would be required to start moving toward digital record.
That sort of thing, and then you feed the competencies into the topic rather than just talking about the competencies.
Yes, absolutely.
And you could do another one with respect to case scheduling. And how to effectively schedule cases so you can have a trial credibility rate that where your trial credibility is 100%, and your competencies in that as well. So there's a couple that we could do just on topics. I was also wondering about a podcast with lawyers from Brazil, just talking about their experience and what they have, their experience in Canada, and just doing like a panel discussion with them, just kind of like your people who have come in and they've done some work with IJP in Canada, and this is their experience.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we should be overly ambitious to start with. I think Bruce is, prior to the lawyers from Brazil, digitization could be one topic and case scheduling another. What occurs to me is we could do a 15-minute podcast featuring Bruce to make it more... to make it interesting, I think we could have Carl commenting, and also somebody who's done some training for us in Toronto is Lynn Fournier-Ruggles. Lynn has had years of experience. She was the registrar of the Immigration and Refugee Board. She now teaches court administration at Seneca College, and she's one person that I think could be very helpful to IJP in the future. And as I say, she's done some training for us in related topics with regard to Nigerian groups that we've had in the past. She also did our Master of Public Policy Administration and Law program. I think she took the Court Organization and Management course and graduated with the highest grades ever. So I think
what's her name?
Her name is Lynn Fournier, Fournier hyphen Ruggles. But it seems to me, if we, for example, if we were asked for Bruce to take the lead on this, and then do a podcast where Carl and Lynn could comment, that would, I think that could be really, really interesting.
And John, I know
most of my.
Sorry, go ahead, Bert.
I know. I just a question for you as well. Given your most recent work in the Ukraine, what are the things that they're really focusing on there?
I was going to get to that. They're really focused on leadership, and especially executive team leadership. So the chief judge and the court administrator working together, and it's slowly, very, very slowly making some inroads. But we still have chief judges in Ukraine who want to kind of wrap their arms around the power and say, no, in the legislation, I'm responsible for everything, so I can't delegate it. But in fact, they can delegate. They are still responsible. And so when, the cleaner doesn't get the toilets cleaned, the chief judge in some courts feels that he has to be the one to deal with that.
Sounds a bit like Jamaica, doesn't it, Bruce?
Well, we no longer.
Oh, that's good.
The former chief justice very much took that approach, and yeah. No matter what we said, she would continue to take that approach. But the new Chief Justice, Brian Sykes, is very much the what we would expect a Chief Justice to be. High-level, strategic thinker. He does not get involved in toilets or even some of the day-to-day issues that the former Chief Justice used to get involved in. If it doesn't affect the court as a whole, he's not interested in it.
So Chief Justice Green of the Court of Appeal here in Newfoundland and I did information sessions in three different cities in November with chief judges and their court administrators. And it was funny, in Odessa, which is sort of the most cosmopolitan city over there, most advanced in terms of courts for sure, everybody was nodding their heads and getting it and asking really legitimate questions, and they seemed to get it. And then we moved out into the western part of the country, into Ivano-Frankivsk, which is rural, not very cosmopolitan at all in terms of their approach, and it was a juggle just to get through a one-day course with the chief judges and the court administrators, because the chief judges were so opposed to the idea.
Pam, I have a question that's kind of related to this and may be helpful if we're thinking about a podcast. Do you find that in courts that are not common law, that is more of a problem than in courts that are common law?
That's a really good question.
Because I know that in Peru and in Chile, that's a huge issue. And they're both civil. And they seem to have this thing where the attitude, as you said, the statute says this is the way it is, so this is the way it is. I have to do it. And that's a very civil code sort of a mentality, whereas in common law, I don't think there's as many, because even in Jamaica, it was not I have to do this because I'm the Chief Justice. It was just she was a control freak. She did not want to do anything or let anybody else do anything.
Right.
And that was just her personality.
So the state court administration of Ukraine are certainly pushing to change it so that the chief judge judge and the court administrator are co-team leaders of the court, and they're changing legislation to accommodate that. So, Bruce, in answer to your question, I would say yes, that it's more that way in civil code countries.
Yeah, I would, that would be my guess, and so that would be an interesting thing to maybe address that issue with respect to civil code countries specifically, and just put out food for thought about, you know, methods that you've had success with in changing the attitude in civil code countries.
That's actually a good idea, just because I know there's an audience for it in Ukraine anyway.
Exactly.
Tam, is there any chance that you and Justice Green might be able to put together a short podcast on this issue?
I can contact him. He retired, actually, while we were in the Ukraine. He went supernumerary.
Uh-huh.
So he's just come back from nearly 3 months in the Maldives, where he was just relaxing. So I can, I think he's back in the province, and I can check with him.
That would be great. I wonder if he would be a good candidate for our advisory committee as well.
You know what? I hadn't thought of that, but I bet he would be.
Could you ask him about that?
I can.
Okay, fantastic.
Now that he's supernumerary.
Yes.
In terms of the podcast, Ian, you had mentioned me doing the one on digitizing, which yeah. I have no problem with, except for the fact that we have a wedding in the family coming up. And so
we won't bother you till after the wedding. We won't bother you till after the wedding. When is that happening?
The wedding is May 26th,
mm-hmm.
And then on June 4th, I leave for Jamaica for a month.
Uh-huh.
So it's July. So given my time frame, I'm wondering if doing the interview with the Brazilian delegates would be a good first one, because I won't have mm-hmm. time to do anything before that.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And then I can work on it once I get back from Jamaica.
Yeah.
In June, unless something comes up, June 29th, I am finished in Jamaica.
That's great. So that'll give me time to consult with Magno and put together a list of questions that we want to raise with the lawyers and the law students from Brazil, and then get feedback from everybody on this committee before we actually do it.
So, Ian, did you say that Magno will also do the video, or do we still need...
No, he would somebody- do... For that video, he would do it himself.
Okay.
So I think that sounds like a good plan. And then beginning in July, we could Bruce, you and I could talk with Carl about the second and the third video. And also I could contact Lynn Fournier-Ruggles in the meantime.
Yes. Lynn would also be somebody that may be very useful to have on the advisory committee.
I agree.
She's very good. I know Lynn quite well. I've gone up and spoken at Seneca for her several times.
And she's reached out to us here in Newfoundland when she was doing focus groups on curriculum for Seneca. So I don't know her face-to-face, but I certainly have spoken with her several times on the phone for that purpose.
Yeah.
She's also one of Carl's graduates.
So maybe instead of so many on the advisory committee, when we do get more on the advisory committee, Bruce, you can move over to the board of directors,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pam's really pushing for that every meeting.
Just your practical experience is so worthwhile to have around the board.
That's fine. The other one I was wondering about is, does anybody know Lynn Wagner? I know she's retired. She was Deputy Attorney General of Ontario in Court Services. Do you know her, Pam?
I do. Barb would know her as well. We both would have sat on the board of ACCA with her. I can't remember a lot about her. I don't know if she was there for a long time. Barb, can you remember?
she was there for a few years, and she continued to be in that role up until a couple of years ago when she retired. But she wasn't there for that long when I was involved.
Okay.
Well, it was ACCA, and then I was involved when they were transitioning to the heads of courts administration.
Oh, yes.
That was more specifically when I recall that she was the representative from Ontario.
That's right. Yeah. No, I'm not sure, like, whether she has sort of fully retired or whether she would be interested in doing something like this, but she is also one of Carl's graduates. Who has a lot of experience and is several times. I've dealt with her several times through my career just because she's in Ontario. I'm in Toronto. We're both in Toronto, and we've had a connection that way.
Actually, now that you say that, I think she worked her way up through the courts, too, to become ADM, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
She
was the head of the court in Fort Francis, and then she came down and she built the Brampton Courthouse that is so famous. And she oversaw that as the registrar in Brampton, and then she became, assistant deputy attorney general and then deputy attorney general of court services. So she's worked her way up through the system.
Right.
Her whole career was in court management.
I think she'd be a great person to ask.
I met her about 10 years ago when I was head of the graduate certificate in justice system administration, and we talked about setting up an internship program for students in our program, We got all the paperwork done for that, and then she moved on to another position or retired. Did she become a judge after that, or did she just retire?
That's a good question. I haven't heard she became a judge. She's not a lawyer, so she might have become a JP.
Anyway, she is a very nice person, and she'd be wonderful to have involved in some way. I think, since you know her better than me, Bruce, maybe you'd be a good person to let her know about the IJP and see if she's interested.
Okay, I'm at home today, so I'll have to see if I can dig up her contact information in my office. The other thing is just an update. Stephen Richmond, the gentleman from the
yes.
States, have you been able to get in touch with him, Ian? Because I have sent him a couple of emails and I've not got a response.
No, I haven't, but I have been so busy with other things in the last month, I haven't done the things on my to-do list yet.
All right, so I have his business card. I will phone him.
Okay.
See if I can talk to him and see if he's still interested.
Okay.
When I did get a response to my email, I'm wondering whether he might not be interested. Because he may, after considering it, think that we're in competition with the American Bar Association International Section.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, I wrote Adele Kent. I know this is more for our regular meeting, and Diana Lowe gave me her email address, and she even got permission from Adele to give the address to me. Mm-hmm. So I wrote her and asked for contact for Brian Lennox and George Thompson, and I never heard back from her. Mm-hmm. So I think she thinks we're almost like in competition as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so. I would think so. Yeah. So we may have to look in other avenues, which I think Lynn Fournier-Ruggles is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of videos in development, we've got the one that we're going to do with the interview with the Brazilian students, and Ian Green's going to work with Magno to do that.
Yep.
We're going to get those clips, and then I guess we'll need to insert our voices or somebody's voice to explain about utilizing the students. I mean, I assume it's not going to be all of the students on one video, is it?
No.
How do you?
No, I think there would be an interaction between me and the students.
And
perhaps others who might get involved in that training program, such as Bruce, if he's available in July.
should be.
Mm-hmm. Carl may be available. So there would be it would be a combination of people like us and the students.
And then I'm just trying to line up what we're going to be working on. So did we talk about anyone doing the digital recording or going to digital records? Or Bruce, is that something you're interested in? Or Barb? But it's Barb's out there too. It's just we can't see her. So
yeah. Didn't we make the decision that Bruce would be doing that?
I could do that, but it would have to be after June, probably towards the fall. Because once I get back from Jamaica, I promised my wife I'm actually going to take some vacation.
Wonderful.
And make sure you do that.
Yes. I have an obscene amount of vacation because I hardly took any last year.
Hmm. Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to discuss with Chief Justice Green whether we could do a podcast on executive team leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine making it.
And Pam, you probably already have script available for that, given the work that you did with him in the Ukraine.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. That's just a matter of taking a lot of our notes or presentations and coming up with 50. So we're talking about a 15-minute podcast? 30?
Yes. I'd say 15.
I think you set yourself up for a minimum, and then just go wherever it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've got a lot of skills there, too. So it's almost like I'm trying to, I shouldn't say this, I'm not even the chair, Barb's the chair. I shouldn't.
The other thing I was thinking is for our CEO, where we're kind of doing it on competencies, I was wondering about having Barb and Pam do that. Because I think the two of you have a higher profile in the justice system in Canada than I definitely do. And that would probably be sort of like, you know, a good way of starting out by having people with high profile do the promotional thing, videos.
I agree.
What do you think, Barb?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we can chat back and forth about how we could see that. So, Rose, just to rephrase what you're saying, we would both of us do a video, so we'd be the speakers talking about what IJP can offer in terms of skill sets, competencies.
Yeah, and it could either be one video or with each of you sort of going back and forth, or it could be two separate videos, but I think having the two of you do it would be very advantageous.
You could each do separate videos, and then someone could join them together as one video going back and forth.
There you go. By the way, and I like your clock. Just to change the subject for a moment.
It's a 200-year-old grandfather clock. Came from Wales.
It's spectacular.
It actually works.
There was one more I was going to ask about, and I've come across this in my international work, and that is business process reengineering, business process mapping and modeling.
Mm-hmm.
When developing countries, at least the ones I've worked in, start to think about becoming automated, they always want to jump in and become automated, but they don't realize that they have to take their old manual methods and actually streamline them before they automate the old way they were doing things. So, has anybody else experienced that?
Pam, I was thinking that was the second piece to what Bruce is going to do, if he's going to talk about moving toward digital records, then the second piece is how you do that.
True.
But digital records is slightly different than business process. You know who I have found is extremely good at business process mapping? It's Don Rose, but I think he's retired.
He is.
But he was very good at business process mapping. He had a real knack for it.
So we can be, like, we could do a podcast on sort of the why you should do business process reengineering and or business process mapping. I think they all mean the same thing. It's just people use different terminology. And what the benefits are to do that before you jump into automation. Because every country that I've gone to, everybody says, what's your greatest need? We need a computer. We need a case management system. Well, what do you need to do before that? Oh, yeah. we just need to put our stuff into a case management system. And so there's a big gap in terms of their understanding of getting from where they are to getting to the case management system and the work they need to do to reprocess and streamline their manual processes before they can be automated.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that gap that I was talking about to try to get them to understand that they need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
that's one of the topics that I've done many times in the countries that I've worked in. But I'm already involved in the one with Chief Justice Green and the one with Barb at the moment. If Chief Justice Green says, okay. Barb, you would also be good for the executive team leadership because you've worked at the executive level in the Alberta courts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe there's a role for Barb in this video as well, that is the executive team leadership.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic.
But I also think that we're going to have to start thinking about, you know, who else we could pull into videos as well, and not just, you know, just the specific people that are on this committee. You know, if there's others on the board or that there's others that we think that we know through the work that they've done in the courts, that would be really good to pull in on some of the work. So that it doesn't all fall just to a few people.
That's very true.
You know, I mean, you know, you have somebody like Shelley, for example, in Newfoundland that probably, you know, has a lot of expertise. Well, I know she has a lot of expertise in some of these areas that we might want to be involved in interviewing to be on a podcast or on a video.
Good point.
That would make them more interesting, too, to have a variety of different people involved. Ian?
I have to sneak off. Do you want to keep going, or do you want to wrap up?
Up to Barb.
We've made a beginning in talking about what we're going to do, and there's a few tasks coming out of this.
Yeah.
I'm fine to continue on, for... you know, 15 or 20 minutes, but also don't want to lose people because that's not going to be worthwhile. And we need to think then how quickly we're going to move forward and how quickly we're going to get together again as far as finding out what feedback people have got from the work coming out of this meeting today.
I think we've probably come up with enough work to keep us busy until at least the end of the year so far. So,
yes, I agree.
It might be a little dangerous to continue.
I think so.
Okay.
Could we set a date for another meeting fairly soon so we can, do at least begin some of our action items and just to give each other an update on them?
Okay.
Give me a timeline and I'll send out a doodle poll. Like, so 3 weeks? 2 weeks? 1 month?
Bruce, I know you said you're gone in June. Is it possible to get a meeting in before you go?
Yeah, I actually, let's see. I could probably the 17th or 18th of this month.
Of May?
Yes.
I can't do the 17th. I could do the 18th.
Yeah, the 18th would work for me.
It works for me.
Okay, same time, 10 o'clock.
As long as that's not too early for Pam.
That's good. Sorry. And I will have my video set up for the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. I'll send out minutes.
Thank you.
Okay.
The 18th at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. I guess it's just you and my
Yes. Anyway.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, I'll say a bit more about the grandfather clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ilonwe comes from Lethbridge. Her dad was a gynecologist and obstetrician, and he was trained in London, so came over after the war. But his father was Welsh. Which is how Ilonwe ended up with a Welsh name. Anyway, when Ilonwe's dad passed away about 13, 14 years ago, Ilonwe and her siblings cleaned out the house. And in the basement, they found this grandfather clock in pieces. Her brother wanted to throw it out. And Ilonwe said, no, I think maybe we can get it restored. So she had it shipped back to Toronto, and it was restored by a friend of ours who's a furniture restorer, and he had a friend who was an expert in clocks. Turned out the mechanism was in great condition. So it actually works, Bruce. I don't turn it on very often because when it hits the hour, it sounds like a flat fire alarm and the whole neighborhood is concerned.
Anyway,
it's a treasure.
Yeah, it's a beautiful clock. Yeah.
It was made in Portmatic. And okay. The nearest we can get, it was made about 200 years ago, maybe a bit more, maybe a little less, but about 200 years ago. You've got a dog.
Yes, we have two dogs. That's why I had to keep muting my computer.
our 24-year-old son moved back home in January, and he brought his dog. So I'm just about to go out and give the dog a walk.
Okay.
And is that your wife in the background?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, good to see her. Hello. Okay, we'll be in touch, Bruce. Thanks very much.
Have a great day.
And good luck getting ready for the wedding.
Thank you. I don't have a lot to do. It's my son, so the father of the groom doesn't have a lot of responsibility. It's a practice run for my daughter.
Huh? Good.
Okay.
All the best.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.